Tzavaita, we're in the sugya of Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava, we're in the chapter of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. We're trying to understand what is the value, what is the maila, what is the purpose in the world of Yisurim. And we're starting to understand a little bit that it has something to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have an opportunity to actually do something with ourselves as opposed to just get everything for free. We're actually going to be given lack, we're going to be given resistance, and we're going to have to somehow dredge out from ourselves the abilities that we've been given in order to build muscle to go against that resistance. So first of all, we have to understand what's the mind of Kabbalah Yisurim, that we've understood a little bit. When things are going tough, that's of course both give you an opportunity to do something with your life. What's the aspect of Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava? Reish Mem Gimel. Atan Navin Heitiv is Maimre Shol Balatanya B'mamori Makatorim Dat Shin Samach Dalet Shechanishim Shona Shol Dveikus B'Teira. 50 years of being Dovuk in Teira Einem Avies Es Adam L'Dveikus B'Bairis Baruch doesn't bring a person to cleaving to Hashem Kamo Shem Avia Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava, as much as Mekabling Yisurim Ba'ava. It's a major league statement, right? I'm not assuming to understand the Balat Tanya. As I mentioned earlier, the Balat Tanya learned Shat most of his life and understood most of the Mishnah in Shnei Moed, and we can't understand. So I'm not claiming to understand the Balat Tanya. I'm not sure there are many people around today who do understand the Balat Tanya, even those that learn him the whole day. But that's what he says. That 50 years of Dveikus B'Teira does not bring a person to Dveikus B'Baruch Hu as much as Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. So while we're sitting in the Beis Midrash learning, we should go out and roll in the snow and walk over hot coals. So the Pele Yisurim Mefurish, we don't look, and we say it as well, every morning we daven, we don't look for Yisurim. We look for Yeshiva Da'at so we can daven in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Torah. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, his Chochma decides that he's going to give you Yisurim, then being Mekabel those Yisurim Ba'ava, yeah, cleaves you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more than cleaving to Torah. It's a higher level of Dveikus, whatever that means. You have to understand, it doesn't mean that you give up learning now and go pull your fingernails out and say, I love you Hashem, thank you. Think about what Hashem gives you, not what you go look for. Abraham even understood this. He jumped into the fires of all Kassim. He was prepared to kill his own son. He didn't seem going looking for Yisurim. When they came, he dealt with them properly, but he wasn't looking for them. You have to understand that. You see, we have Messiahs. There were no Yidden that went looking for suffering. The reason is because accepting Yisurim is in itself Dveikus. To be similar to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Yisurim means there's a lack here. What is suffering? Suffering means I'm lacking something. Yeah? I'm lacking my freedom, I'm lacking my comfort, I'm in pain. The opposite of pain is no pain. It's not pleasure. The opposite of pain is no pain. They didn't teach you that at Eish HaTorah? Good. Baruch Hashem. I've had guys coming out of my age for 4 years. They never heard that. Shocking news. Anyway. No one else will tell you that. The opposite of pain is no pain. It's comfort. So he's lacking comfort. He's lacking pleasure. Well, Yisurim, that's what Yisurim means, right? It's a lack. So therefore we have an ability to create something Yesh Miayim. To makabel that Yisurim and do what Hashem wants with us. The Torah mitzvahs hate in three slaves out of the Dveikus. Torah mitzvahs are means to bring a person to Dveikus. The existence of a void, the existence of a lack in the world, is Dveikus in itself. That's the space in which we come to Makayim Torah mitzvahs. In order for us to be in this world, to Makayim Torah mitzvahs, there has to be a space where it's dark, where there's no light. Because if there was light, there wouldn't be us. In the infinite world of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, there is no place for you and me. So how is Hashem going to have somebody that can receive what he has to give, and at the same time give unconditionally? Because that's what the Bria was created for. Can only be if there's a lack. So the lack itself is Dveikus. In such a way, a person is able to reach the purpose and to be dovuk in his creation, creator, Ba'ava. Very, very important to solve this. Just 1 second. Torah mitzvahs are a means to being dovuk in Hashem. The suffering is itself a dveikus. Korum Hashem l'nishbor elayv. Hashem's close to the broken hearted. What does it mean? Hashem's the sweet Nasa, and he sees people suffering, the broken hearted, he comes, and he gets close to them. They may be chat, but according to this, the much bigger chat is Korum Hashem l'nishbor elayv. The nishbor is the closeness to Hashem. I thank Hashem because you inflicted me. The going says, because that was my Yeshua. Why am I in this world? To cleave to Hashem. When I'm suffering, I'm cleaving to Hashem. Yes, this one.
Very interesting. To come to this understanding and to understand this truly and to understand that this lacking is the greatest thing through intellect and understanding. And we can come to this level. Many Jews throughout time didn't have the ability to sit and have this shmos, this talk, this learning, and they still had it.
Yeah,
they still had that ability to do that without knowing that was because they were
standing up.
Oh, they were already on a high level, such a high level.
Well, even the most simple Jews, even the most posh Jews didn't have this. I'll tell you, it's much easier if you don't understand all this stuff. It's much easier to do what Hashem wants, and to be makabel and to makabel life and understand life if you're not intellectualizing too much. So it's very simple. What happened is we, this generation, post World War II, or let's say starting from World War I already it started, but really the watershed is post World War II, we got conned into believing that life's supposed to be easy. Right? So when life starts getting hard, we get depressed. And that's our generation. We're a generation of miserable people. That's how this book starts. The whole thing starts by saying the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed. Why? Tachas shelo avodet et Hashem b'simcha v'tuv leivov. We didn't serve Hashem b'simcha v'tuv leivov. That's what's happening. The Beit HaMikdash can only be rebuilt if we correct what destroyed it. What destroyed it was simcha v'tuv leivov. Right? So how come we need to be taught how to do this? Because we don't know how to do it. Why? Because we live in a world, okay, where Jews have never had it this good. Where Jews have been conned to think that the world's supposed to be easy and life's supposed to be easy. When things get harder, we get suffering, we get depressed. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that's because there's no God or God's bad. Okay, so I'm out of here. Boom. That's it, simple. My woman never had that problem. Because she understood that life's supposed to be hard. We came in this world to build muscle. We came in this world. This is not Olam Haba, this is Olam Hazeh. This is the gym. Why is it so hard in the gym? Well, go to sleep and don't build muscle. What's the problem? Yeah, but then I don't feel like I'm using my life properly. I get miserable. Ah, so then go to the gym and push some muscle. This world's the gym. That's where you push muscle. The Lama Ba is where you get to appreciate how much muscle you've built. Just our ancestors knew that and understood that portion. What Esav did was he became Achi. See, when Esav's chasing you with a machine gun and with a gas chamber and whatever, so then you know who you are and you know what you're living for, and it's quite clear who the enemy is. But Esav suddenly switched into Achi. Yaakov says, Hatzileini mi Esav Achi. Hatzileini mi yad Achi, mi yad Esav. Save me from the hand of my brother, from Esav. So before we finish, we know who Yaakov's brother was. He only had one brother. And we know who Esav is, Yaakov's brother. Why didn't Pasuk have to say both? He says, because sometimes he comes as Esav and sometimes he comes as Achi. When he comes as Achi, and he came as Achi in this generation, he made life so beautiful and easy for us. Just don't think too much. The average year, 100 years ago, understood what he was living for, would give his life without even thinking twice. If you were offering the opportunity, if you were discovering that he was a goy and you were teaching Wuji Magaya, the guy wouldn't think for half a nanosecond, Magaya on the spot. Today they're bochrim in the best yeshivas in the world, they wouldn't Magaya for anything if they would find out. I know. I've spoken to them. They wouldn't Magaya for nothing. If I have to keep the Torah, I'm Jewish, I have to keep the Torah. To say that, I'm a good way, I want to do the right thing. But if I suddenly discover I'm not Jewish, I'm going to keep the Torah, so what do I have to keep the Torah for? I mean, he doesn't have the most of what a relationship with Hashem is. He doesn't understand what Torah is. He doesn't understand what being a Jew is. So, in Achinami, you're right. So therefore, we need books to teach people and to wake them up. You've got to go around and you've got to scream this loud in every pinah that you can. When I meet Israeli Shiva Bochum today, I don't speak about anything else. I speak about the Brach of Shelo Sani Goy, and I speak about this. If you were discovered tomorrow that you're not Jewish, what would you do? And I get them thinking about it and bothered by it. Terrible, terrible thing going on. You don't understand how serious it is. We've never been so frum. Our tefillin have never been so frum. Our Israelim have never been so frum. Our matzahs are... You've got to understand how much beauty and how much hidur there is in our matzahs today, yeah? the Chofetz Chaim couldn't understand how beautiful that tefillin are. Wouldn't have a mussag of what that tefillin looks like. We've stopped being Jewish. Moshe stopped being Jewish. We don't understand what it means, neta, what it means to be a Jew without anything. Are you a Jew? Don't understand what it means. We've lost that Yiddishkeit. We've lost that simple essence, what it means to be Jewish. That's what we've lost. And that, how do you give that back? So that's the Nesoyim. The Nesoyim is, we've got to go back. We need books to learn. Did you need books on parenting 100 years ago? How many books on parenting were there 100 years ago? In fact, a big Thomas Chacham once pointed out to me. Do you remember of Korn? I don't know if you were. You know, what's a Korn? Is a mighty big Thomas Chacham, starting Gesund sein, lives in London today. He's still alive in Genesis. He was Shakun and Yom of Elila. He once pointed out to me, he said, the story we learn today, how many of them were written after the war? What did people learn before the war? Shas, Babli, Shulchan Aruch, Pirushim, whatever, what are they? How many books there are today that were written after the war? Parenting, child raising, every possible thing. How to nurse your child, how to dietary yourself, every little thing. We've got books on today. It's beautiful. I'm not saying not. Obviously, we need it. But you understand that my woman didn't need a book to tell her how to bring up the children. And she didn't need a book for this, and she needed a book for this, and she didn't need a book for that, and then books for all these millions of things. And they knew what they were doing. What's the problem? We become so confused and mixed up already. We need a book just to tell us the most basic truth about what it means to be Jewish. We need books to teach us today. The book of Hashem, we have them. You have to be careful. Very often the books can actually dry your cough. Parenting books are probably the and once again, I don't want to be quoted out of context here. I'm not saying you shouldn't use parenting books, but parenting books very often can be the biggest need for why you need parenting books. Because they can mess you up terribly. Once we went to the doctor with one of my kids. So the doctor said, what do you think is wrong with your child? So my wife said, you're the doctor, that's what came to you. He said, you're the mother. I trust the mother more than I trust myself. Mothers know. Mothers have a sense of what's going on in their child's life. Tell me what you think. Then ask God. The posh doctor here in Israel, you know, computer doctor. His computer wasn't working, so he couldn't see patients, you know, because that's kind of doctor. But he understood. That's it. The most basic understanding, the best person to understand the child is the mother, the father. We know how to bring up our children. What's the proof? You want to become a shoychet, which is not so difficult. Parenting, that's a real job. To become a shoychet is not so simple, but it's hard. If you want to, it's not complex. It's not like breaking children. You've got to be a sheikhet. The Torah prescribes the whole period of preparation that you need in order to become a sheikhet. You want to become a moel? There's a lochus about what you have to do. You want to become a parent? Where does the Torah tell you what you have to do before you become a parent? Where's the, you know, the shimush and the mesayres and the hilchus? Well, when you have to become a parent, the Torah doesn't tell you. So probably you don't need it. So we have books telling us what to do. So we get confused. We lose our own tools and our own abilities atrophy, and we start relying on all these books. Now the books might be right, but they may not be appropriate in this particular situation. So it's better to rely on yourself. Once again, you have to know. You have to know when to ask. When not to ask. It's a complex shaila. But be very careful that you're not throwing all your abilities into the bag of let's rely on everybody else. But where we need books and we need chizuk and we need instruction, we need it. When we've lost sight of reality, when we're out of touch with the most basic Jewish truths, you need somebody to come along and chizuk it. Now the truth is, this book wasn't written as a book. This book is the product of 30 years of shearing that we've given all over the world. It's only the last 2 or 3 years that they've actually taken all the tapes and put them into a book. This book wasn't written by the person who gave me shearing. This book was ghostwritten off tapes in conjunction with the author, but Ruftava didn't write this book. He didn't say, I don't write the book. Ruftava went to shearing all over the world for the last time. I mean, I heard him speaking 22 years ago already. And he was already well on his way. He was already a tzaddik there. So these books have just been written recently, but the shirim was given. So, but what we need today is we need this, and that's why we have it for Hashem. Today, how do you got to explain to a kid? Kid asked me the other day. Understand? I don't just the smallest little thing. Yeah, what do you do? That's such a big thing. 6,000 years of Auschwitz. Come on, that's my God. What has to do with this God? Such a little thing, and it gets such a big Einish. Israeli kid, and he's right, when he's standing in his little world. I came 10 minutes later to Cheder and I got hit over the head with a baseball bat. What's the big deal? So you have to explain this to kids grow up like that. Now you're suddenly telling him, listen, if you're not Jewish, what will you do? I'm not Jewish, I'm not going to get hit, I'm not going to get beaten, I don't have to, I can eat before Shachris. I'm out of here, man. I'm a good boy, I don't want to do the wrong thing. So I'm a Jewish, I'm going to keep the mitzvah. They're not Jewish, what have you been involved here for? I'm a guy, put yourself back into the furnace, you just got out, what are you dumping back food for? Explain to him to go back to basics and teach the kid who he really is. He doesn't know. No one stopped and explained to him what it means. So today we need, unfortunately, books for that. Why can't the parents do it? Because the parents don't know. So yasma de yasma, this is a parentless generation, as was the previous one. We don't know, the parents themselves don't know. Or they know it and it's just posh it for them and they don't know how to give it over. So you need people to talk about it. You need people to go out there and talk to them. Explain to these kids who they really are. Because they're empty shells and they demand an enormous amount of performance from them and they have no basic understanding of their essence relationship with who they really are. You can't demand performance when there's no relationship. When there's a love relationship and the performance lies in the back of the love relationship, then that's performance. But to demand performance in an empty void, in a shell, what's it going to produce? So some kids get it naturally. Some kids naturally have an enjoyable for learning and have a time for learning. They have a stick of ruchnias and they enjoy it. But most kids sit down and have it now. What 12-year-old would rather be robbing a buyer than playing Space Invaders or whatever it is they play today? What's more enjoyable? Be honest. Robbing a buyer or a geschmacka game of whatever it is you play? So we adults, we understand, you know, you've got to push aside an immediate pleasure for a long-term benefit, but how do you explain it to a 13, 14-year-old? So if he gets it naturally, you see, it's beautiful. You have a Yeshiva Ketaneya. You want to see an open miracle? They say, there's no miracles today. Go upstairs in Yeshiva Ketaneya, yeah, and go see what it looks like. Just go downstairs, you can cry. Sitting there, you cry. It's an open miracle. What's a 14-year-old doing downstairs then? Do you know what the world's offering him? In Warsaw, 100 years ago, I understand why he's there. Where's he going to go? Across the river to the Goyim. First of all, what the Goyim had wasn't so pleasant either. And for a Jew, by a Goyim, he wasn't going to be treated so nicely. But what's he doing downstairs learning? Do you know what the world offers him today? He goes across the river to the Goyim. He's a king. He's got everything the Goyim have got and better. He's got Shabbos. He's got Torah and he's got everything the Goyish world has. He has his Dasgönishir and he's got his internet and he's got everything. He's got mamash, the best of both worlds. He's a king. So what's he doing downstairs? I'm going to buy him 16 hours a day. It's an open miracle thing. There's nothing more beautiful in the world. Nothing more beautiful in the world than going downstairs and watching these kids. I'm telling you, call me Meshuga, but I'm telling you, I don't see anything more beautiful in the world. Because it's an impossible thing. It's impossible. And I know it's impossible. And you know it's impossible. Robin Abayo, your favorite movie. Okay, so you understand the story. You know how hard it is. So what keeps you at Robin Abayo? Because you know, you don't want to burn. Every 14-year-old's not thinking about, you know, he ain't, you know. He's not thinking, what were you doing? You were thinking about that when you were 14? Every 14-year-old's not thinking about that. So you do find kids that have got it. But the vast majority don't. So have to give it to them. How do you give it to them? Baruch Hashem, somebody spoke about it. You answer your question? All right. Goodbye, gentlemen.